Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered her talents to do work she loves to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Kalpana Murthy. Welcome, Kalpana.
Hi, Don. Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Kalpana, a quick question. Are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Yes, finally. After a long journey to get here, I'm very grateful that I'm able to say yes to that question.
Good. We want to hear the whole story. Kalpana Murthy works as a licensed professional counselor, career coach, and certified EMDR therapist in her private practice, Genuine Connection, in Atlanta, Georgia. She specializes in identifying the root cause of present-day problems and providing brain science-based approaches to help her clients achieve their goals. Her early career in marketing, combined with her expertise in counseling, trauma therapy, and career coaching, enables her to offer her clients an integrated path to wellness. Ultimately, Kalpana helps her clients connect their head and their heart so they can have a more genuine connection to themselves and others. Kalpana, that's a brief overview. Take just a few minutes and tell our listeners what you're up to now and how it's working.
I work full-time in my private practice in Atlanta. Counseling, therapy, and career coaching, as you mentioned. But and coincidentally, this month marks my 8-year anniversary of launching my private practice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's been a wonderful experience. And I feel grateful that I get to meet a diverse group of people and bear witness to their stories and also facilitate change in them. And when I started my practice, I wanted to provide clients with a different experience of counseling and therapy. I think TV shows and movies often present counseling or therapy in a way that would turn most people off. It certainly turned me off. Having been on the receiving end of comfortable as well as uncomfortable therapy sessions, I wanted to give clients a different experience. And that different experience was that I believe therapy can be very results-oriented, in the same way that working in an advertising or marketing consulting firm, we measure our effectiveness by the return on the client's investment. So I kind of created a model of how I work that integrates that consulting perspective with really good relational therapy.
I love that idea, by the way. That's a beautiful amalgam of different disciplines.
Yeah, and I think clients want to know that if they're investing their limited time and their hard-earned dollars, that they want to know that there's a beginning, middle, and end to the process. And I provide them that. And by incorporating forms of therapy like EMDR therapy that is based on the science of how our brain stores, processes, and learns information, we can make shifts and gain insights very quickly.
EMDR, what does that stand for?
So thanks for asking that. It stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And I know that's a mouthful.
Yes.
The short version of it's memory reprocessing therapy. And it's been around for 25 years, and it's used worldwide, and it's one of the most researched therapies in terms of effectiveness.
Fascinating.
But so few people know about it. But it's essentially, when we sleep at night during rapid eye movement sleep, we know that that is the mechanism that our brain has where we take the experiences of our day, we sort through it, and the brain says, what does this person need to learn and integrate into all their other knowledge in order to enhance their well-being, and what can they discard?
Perfect. That's just, I want to know more about that. That's fascinating. Okay.
So it is a methodology that I am trained in, that I had a really personal, powerful experience with on my own, even before I became a therapist, that is a way that we can facilitate the brain's learning process so that people can make the changes that they want in a very brief period of time.
Okay, excellent. As you well know, particularly in the profession you're in, everyone's life journey is composed of a series of turning points. They're called passages. At these times, we're each faced with obstacles, opportunities, and choices that ultimately determine the next period of our life. Would you take our listeners through a few of the most memorable and impactful defining moments in different stages of your career?
Sure. I think one of the key turning points for me was when I was 29. I had been working in Chicago at a wonderful advertising agency. I was 6 years into my career. I had achieved a level of responsibility this point where I was like, okay, what's next? And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be a partner in an ad agency. I don't want to own my own agency. And I knew that.
Why not? What wasn't working for you? I mean, I have that background too in part of my life. But what you liked it, but then you didn't like it. What wasn't working for you?
Well, I knew I wanted to be self-employed. You know, early in my life, I started creating vision boards when I was in high school. So well before people were talking about vision boards, I was always tearing pictures out of magazines. And I had a quote that guided me for much of my life. And the quote was, there is only one success, to be able to spend your life in your own way. And one of the challenges of working in advertising, as you know, is it's very long hours. I had been promoted twice in my 6 years, and I was working on major national brands and had nice teams of people I was managing. But even though I had achieved the career success that I wanted, and I had was in a very good, stable relationship with a man that I had known for a while, I was unhappy and I was burnt out. Mm-hmm. And so it was that, and it was that recognition that for me to be happy, for me to have the success, it was less about what I thought it was. I thought I needed a certain senior level title and a certain salary. And while I still wanted the salary to have the lifestyle I wanted, I recognized that being able to spend my time in my own way was the key to my long-term happiness. And that the only way I could do that is if I were ultimately self-employed or working in some way where I had much more flexibility versus the very long hours that I was working in the ad agency world.
That must have been disconcerting. You had a vision, you were trusting your instincts, but still a part of your logical side must have said, are you crazy? Everybody in the world would want to be where you are right now. This is perfect. You're making plenty of money. You're honored in what you do. What got you through that?
Exactly. Well, you know, I believe, you know, the body never lies. And
no, it doesn't.
I had a day where I got ready for work and I just started crying and I couldn't stop crying. And that was not me. I was not somebody who cried very, very often. But that was sort of this turning point where I was just like, you know what? I am burnt out. And I knew that I could not really do the deep soul searching and career exploration I needed while continuing to work. So I took a big risk at that point in my life. Now, fortunately, I had saved quite a bit of money that I knew I could go a year, but I quit my job in the height of a recession and was unemployed for 8 months. And it was a very difficult 8 months at the age of 29. And I didn't anticipate it would be that long, but mm-hmm. It was pivotal because I read every career book I could get my hands on. And now, you know, this is in the early 90s, so there's not LinkedIn and the internet and all these things to facilitate. But I came across a book called Work with Passion by Nancy Anderson, which it's still out there. I was the first version, but there's a newer version now. And that book really taught me that it's about self-awareness. So, I mean, I also did, you know, What Color Is Your Parachute and many others. But that book taught me, how do you take criteria that make you happy and take some interest and explore different avenues? And it taught me how to do informational interviews, how to network. And so I literally, during an eight-month period, I had some criteria besides what I knew made me happy in my ad agency job. And I explored probably six different careers at that point. And that is, one of those careers was being a career coach, and another one of those careers was being a therapist.
Did you do informational interviews? Did you think about a category and interview some people in the field, or what did you do?
Yeah, so what I did is I would pick a category, and two things come to mind. I think that people think it's going to be a straight line. Like they think, okay, I'm doing this right now and I want to get to B. They think it's going to be like this linear process, and it's not. You might have seen this diagram that when we're making a dramatic change, whether it's a career transition or something else, it's a whole bunch of squiggly lines. And if I were to diagram my career from the time I got out of college to now, there'd be lots of up and downs and two steps forward, one step back. So I think for many people, not being able to take the longer term view, especially now, we really have to think about, we are living longer and longer. We're, you know, like right now, the average age for baby boomers is 85 to 90. So if you think about the current generation coming out of college, it's going to be even longer. And I think too many people get into this mindset, well, I'm 40, I can't make a radical change. And to me, it's no, you have a psychological imperative. I mean, your soul is going to continue to push you in those ways to keep redefining yourself. So I think that's part of it.
It's huge.
It's a long journey, but if you take a longer term view of your life and to say, look, I want to have multiple ways of defining myself over the course of my lifespan, you don't define it like, oh, wow, this career didn't work out for me. You say, wow, that's what I did for the first 10 years of my career, or 5 years, or 15, and now I have this opportunity to do something else for the next 10 or 15.
We live in, to say the least, ultra-complicated times from every possible dimension. So how does one fight the fear of, oh gosh, I've got a secure thing here, or, oh, it's not too bad, at least I'm employed, I'm taking care of my family or myself? How do you work through the fear? Because there's always fear, there's always doubt.
Yeah, so I think there's two fears. There's the practical of the financial fear. So obviously, when I did these, you know, I've on more than one occasion, I quit a job without something lined up, but I didn't do it without planning. I mean, I had been saving. So one, you offset the fear by making sure you've got that safety net, mm-hmm. or you do it, maybe you work some part-time jobs while you're exploring other things. That's how you address the financial fear. I think the emotional fear of what if I do this and it doesn't work out? You know, I think for me, what helped me is various quotes I was reading of highly successful entrepreneurs who talked about they launched a product or they launched a business and it didn't work out, and they didn't define it as failure. They defined it as, I'm getting closer to knowing what works and what doesn't work.
Yes.
I think that's really important. The other thing is to recognize that you're choosing your suffering, meaning you can stay in something that is not fulfilling but seems secure, but you're unhappy, so you suffer in one way. Or you can choose to, I'm going to move towards something that is scary, but at least you're moving towards a positive. At least you're versus getting comfortable and stable misery.
Yes. That's beautiful.
In college, and one of the things I really loved in the ad agency world is I loved consumer research.
Ah.
And, you know, I had a lot of clues, and I also loved working one-on-one with people, and I found that some of the most rewarding aspects of my ad agency career was helping managers get promoted. So those were some of the criteria that were informing as I did my informational meetings. So the first transition was to go from advertising to, I worked full-time at a business school in their career management center, actually at Duke. And that was my first experience of working full-time, doing one-on-one career coaching and teaching career coaching classes, and also marketing the school to corporations and really understanding what recruiters were looking for.
Did you have to do other study on the coaching side and the career side since you had a background in classical advertising?
At that point, there wasn't like, you know, what it is now with all the coaching universities and certifications. But I had a couple things that enabled me to get that job that had. One, while I was working at the ad agency, in addition to being account management, I was on the recruitment team. So I had been trained through that ad agency. I went through a training program of how to do on-campus interviewing at business schools as well as undergrads. So I had a lot of experience from the corporate side of what do we look for, and, you know, reading a lot of resumes. But I was also, because of the 8 month, you know, literally for full time for 8 months, I was reading every career book I could get my hands on. I had done it. And so I was able to go into that job interview and show how I could teach other people. I was good at writing, so I was able to show how I could help people write their resumes. But I think at the end of the day, job search, it is the ultimate marketing experience. So all of that, how do you create somebody's personal brand? That all helped me be able to provide career coaching into students at the school.
Yes, yes. Well, the statistics are pretty overwhelming that most folks around the world, and even in this country with so many more opportunities oftentimes, are not engaged as fully as they might be. In fact, they're often very disengaged. So why is that? I mean, you've just told what you did, and you've explained it by your example, but what do you think the typical pitfalls are that people fall in, again, whether they're 18, just starting out, or pre-retirement planning? What happens that causes them to not be able to pay off their talents or their vision for the kind of life they want?
Another way to think about it is that you're making a choice between growth versus regression.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was this idea of like, how do I know? Like, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to go back to school full time in my early 40s. And then I'm going to do a 3-year postgraduate program, you know, before I can start my, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it got to the point of taking a longer term view and saying, what do I want life to look like at 50 and 60? And if I don't make this change, I was like, I can't see myself writing marketing plans when I'm 50. And I, you know, that, it was kind
right.
of that.
Right. In this whole journey, you know, starting all the way back at 29 at Needham, where was the point of no return in that thread of your life where you were just as clear as a bell that you were moving forward and that you'd made the right choice?
Yeah, so the point of no return didn't happen at the 29 because, you know, I took that job in career coaching and I did that for a year. And while I liked it because of personal reasons, I still was not ready to go back to school. And so for personal reasons, that's when I moved to Atlanta and started working at another wonderful ad agency. And I stayed in marketing for a number of years. I think the point of no return happened for me that whole wonderful midlife passage.
Mm-hmm.
I basically just got to a point of looking at life longer term. And it was that sense of this has been pulling at me for 12 years. I mean, literally, it was that I started thinking about being a therapist 12 years, like if not now, when type of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing is there was a book that was pivotal for me. It's a book by an author named James Hollis. And the book is called The Midlife Passage from Misery to Meaning. But that book really just talks about life. And there were things in that book I ended up going to a weekend workshop that he did on that very topic.
I love that title. It totally sums it up, doesn't it?
Right. And so I think for me, that pull of midlife was ultimately another thing. You know, we've talked about how this is a very creative process and this is we have to get into our right brain as well as our left brain.
Yes.
Some of the things that I did in my early 40s when I was really contemplating, do I go back to school to become a therapist, is the book The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. I did that book and I did some experiential things. And one of them was, so much talks about you have to take a leap of faith. There are no guarantees in life that your career change is going to work or even that job is going to work or the relationship or the move or whatever. And so to kind of have the experience of taking that leap of faith, I took flying trapeze classes.
You what?
I took some flying trapeze classes.
My word.
And
what was that like?
Well, it was scary. But the point is, it got me out of my head. And, you know, it's no different than what people do when they do corporate outward bound classes, that you have that experience of having your heart racing and feeling like you're going to fall and you don't want to jump off the platform. You don't want to climb up the 30-foot ladder. But when you do it and you jump and, you know, it gives you a new confidence. And so I think that metaphor of me taking some flying trapeze classes and taking that leap of faith was also what was that point of no return of me just saying, you know what, I can stay doing what I'm doing. And yes, I can do this marketing stuff, but just because I can do it and I'm good at it doesn't mean I need to keep doing it for the rest of my life. Taking the leap of faith to go back to school was at least moving me towards something different, and it was growth versus regression.
I like growth versus regression. What aspects of your life have been most profoundly affected by you making these hard choices and following your instincts and your talents to do work that's more fulfilling to you?
Well, one is that I feel like work is now a part of my life and it supports the life I want to have versus in my days of working in advertising or marketing consulting, I felt too much of my life was around work. Like there wasn't that whole work-life balance. And I have definitely created a life where, you know, I work full-time in my practice, but I can be tired at the end of the day just by the nature of what I'm hearing, but it doesn't drain my soul. I feel good about the work that I did.
Yes.
And that frees me up to have energy that I do other things besides thinking about work all the time, which is what I was doing before.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You were just a human doing, going through the motions.
Yeah.
Let's talk about lessons. The whole point of the show is, as you obviously know, is to share lessons and insights that help people in their journeys. So let's boil it down to some key lessons that that you've learned.
So some of these we've mentioned, so some of them I'll just summarize and then I'll add some new ones. So
sure.
One of them is to recognize that it is a creative process. It is not just a logical, these are my strengths, these are my interests. You can't just do a pro and con list. So that to recognize it's a very creative process.
Yes.
That's one point. I think the second point is that you have to get comfortable quitting things. You know, Seth Godin has that book, The Dip, which wasn't around when I was doing my career transition, but I wholeheartedly believe in that principle that part of what makes it hard for people to find what they're interested in or to move into a more fulfilling career is that we live in a culture that continues to tell us that we're not supposed to quit things. And I look back and had I not quit some things, even when others were saying that's not good on your resume to quit, had I not quit, I would not have created the space and the discomfort for me to move into something else.
Excuse me, what is Seth Godin's book? You said The Death?
It's called The Dip, D-I-P. And it's a really good short little book. And it's not only about how do you know when to quit a job or a career. You can also use it for any activity, whether it's training for something or a relationship or an exercise program. But it's a really valuable book that talks about the value of quitting and how to know when to quit with something or when to stay with something.
Yes, good.
I think a third principle that I learned that I think can be helpful to your listeners is that you have to understand your temperament and your personal preferences. And so by that I mean, for me, one of the things that I became aware of is that when I looked at the jobs that were not comfortable for me versus ones that were, identifying things that I get drained if I am working in a cubicle. I get drained if I'm working in an office without a window. I get drained if I'm spending a lot of times in meetings where I think this is a waste of time.
Okay? Sure, sure.
And so I don't think people put enough emphasis on what is enhancing your energy and what is draining your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people can look at those kind of things, like, is it your commute? Is it the office space? A book that, once again, wasn't around when I did my career exploration, but I use with my clients, is a book called The Highly Sensitive Person by Elaine Aron.
Okay.
And there's a little quiz in the front of that book. And you know, people often think highly sensitive. They're labeled like you're too sensitive, like it's a negative. But if you look at that quiz, many highly creative people are actually highly sensitive, and it's a wonderful quality. It means you have the ability to feel deeply, both empathetically, but you take in information from all your senses. So if you are highly sensitive and you are working in an environment that is a cubicle or where there's other aspects environmentally that drain you, you can think that it is the work that is draining you if you don't have that awareness that, no, it's the setting that is draining you and how you can do some self-care. So I think
or the toxic people in that setting. There are plenty of environments that are utterly toxic.
I also think the book StrengthsFinder 2.0 is a very good book to help people understand their personal preferences, that why not leverage your strength. And coincidentally, like, that book was not around when I made either of my career transitions, but I remember when I took that assessment a year or so ago, it was neat to see that my five top strengths, I actually are using in my career now.
That's beautiful.
I think it's a very good assessment instrument.
Yes, yes, yes. So you just summarized a bunch of books, and you have in the course of this interview. Pick three. That's an impossible question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So just pick three that stand head and shoulders above the others.
The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Even if you're not trying to go into a creative field, we all are creative. And any type of transition we are trying to make or self-awareness comes with being creative. So I think that's a good book.
Well, it gets us out of our head and out of our logical mode, right?
I think for listeners who are in midlife, I think the book, The Midlife Passage, From Misery to Meaning by James Hollis is an excellent book.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm struggling to figure out I know what my third one is, and I haven't mentioned this one.
Okay.
What Should I Do with My Life by Poe Bronson.
Okay, Poe Bronson.
Yeah, and I actually, that book was available when I was doing my second transition, and I like that book because it is not a career book that is giving you exercises. It is the subtitle of that book is The True Story of People Who Answered the Ultimate Question. So what he did is he went around the country and he interviewed people from all ages, all industries, who had started one career and for whatever reason they didn't like it or didn't work out and they were struggling with what do I do next with my life. And it's a neat book because it's kind of like your companion when you're going through that, because as you read people's stories, you're like, oh yeah, I feel that way too. I also like it because he put people in there that when they made their transition, it didn't work out. So it wasn't just do what you love and the money will follow.
Exactly.
That's a good book as well. He paints a realistic picture of the struggle and that sometimes it works and sometimes it didn't. So those are my three.
Good, good. Internet, what can you say about the internet? It's an amazing force, to say the very least. How do you use the internet?
You know, for me, I find it very draining. So
okay.
In terms of, I know your question is there a tool that I use? Yeah, there is a program, fullslate.com. I could not manage my practice without it. Well, I have managed my practice without it, but I started using it 3 years ago, and it is a appointment scheduling system that allows clients to book their own appointment with me 24/7. If they need to reschedule their appointment, they can reschedule it. And so it has made my practice incredibly efficient, and my clients love it.
Full Slate.
FullSlate.com.
Okay, perfect.
So, I mean, that's the tool. I would tell you about another site that I just recently learned about. Since one of your themes, Dawn, is fun, I learned of a fun site just last week, and it's called ZenPencils.com.
Oh, ZenPencils.
And the reason it's relevant to your listeners is that the person who created it when he was going through his own career transition, and he took quotes that were motivational to him that relate to making changes or making career changes. And he took those well-known quotes. He is an artist and he draws cartoons. So it's just a really fun site as well. So zenpencils.com, but there's nice motivational quotes in there to help people with their career.
Good, good, good. I like that. I'll look it up. Okay, here's a fun question. What do you see happening in your life in the next handful of years? What's your personal vision going forward, as much as we can have one?
I'm going to continue to focus on working in my private practice because that is the most rewarding work I do. I love meeting one-on-one with people face-to-face. So I will do that. One of the things I love about my profession is I can continuously learn. There's so much about how to help people grow and change and heal from upsetting events and trauma, as well as how to get unstuck. So one of the areas that I'm very interested in now that I'm doing a lot of reading and incorporating into my practice is that we know that our gut, our stomach, is our second brain. And there is so much research about how the foods we put into our body affect our neurotransmitters and that we can treat or offset anxiety, depression, sleep problems, low energy just with food. And so many of my clients have been on medication and they don't want to be on it, or they're not on medication, but somebody's telling them to go on medication. And I am incorporating a lot of brain health education and nutritional education into my practice. I've been doing it some for about a year now, but I want to incorporate more of that education.
This is a journey I've been on for many years now, and I hope listeners will take that in because it sounds so counterintuitive. What? Our gut is our second brain? What are you talking about? Well, believe me, listeners, what Kalpana just said here is absolutely true. Just look into that if you have a minute, because it does impact your life in such a profound way. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. And so, I think in sum, I think there are too many people suffering unnecessarily, and they think this is just life. Like life has to be this hard, and it doesn't have to be this hard, that we can get unstuck. We can... we can shift the things that are unconsciously getting activated from our past that are holding us back and having us have too small a view of ourselves.
Correct. How would you like to be remembered?
I don't really care how I'm remembered. I don't really care if no one remembers me and I don't have a legacy. Maybe when I get older in life, I know psychologically that's one of the developmental tasks in our 70s of wanting a legacy.
Right.
But right now, I just want people to know that that I'm somebody who can help them if they are feeling stuck, and whether that stuck is if they have writer's block on their assignment, or they have anxiety giving a presentation, or they are stuck in a relationship pattern that doesn't serve them, or they've had an upsetting or traumatic event happen, or a lifetime of that's what I specialize in, and that's what I want to help people with.
All right. Kalpana, Murthy, great pleasure being with you today. We appreciate you sharing the highlights of your journey, a fascinating journey and a courageous journey. And I know that our listeners have learned lessons that will help them in theirs. So how do listeners get in touch with you?
Well, first of all, Don, thank you so much for inviting me and giving me this opportunity.
A pleasure.
The best way that people can connect with me or learn more is through my website, genuineconnection.com. There's a hyphen between genuine and connection. And I've got a lot of information on my site, including a number of articles I've written and some videos I created to educate people on some of these topics we've talked about. Or they can connect to me on my LinkedIn profile.
Good, good, excellent. Listeners can go to discovertalentpodcast.com and find show notes, which is a brief summary, as well as a link to replaying this interview. The books will be listed there and so forth. I want to thank our listeners across the world for joining us today. If you go to our website, you can get a free infographic of an ebook we've compiled, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed, which is not always obvious, 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. And I think that every listener out there can benefit from some of those lessons. You can also subscribe for free to this daily podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Once you subscribe, we would appreciate it if you would rate and review our podcast. We're launching, and we want as many fellow travelers and tribe members as we can get. So thank you for that. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We can't ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive. We thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.